Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Jacob Naki. How are you two doing?
Mimi.
Helpful.
I'm alive.
You're just giving me so much to work with tonight. Aki, come on. How are you doing?
I played a lot of games, so good.
Whoa.
I know. Big shocker. Person who plays.
You played games on the show? What? That's insanity.
Game right now? Totally. No.
Oh, Lord. Anyway,
is one of the ones you're reviewing this time?
No, I finished. Oh. I started and finished one of those yesterday, and I started and finished the other one the day before that.
Oh, fancy.
Look at you, overachiever.
She's ahead of the game.
Yeah, I 100%ed both of them, even.
Speaking of games, we have a guest joining us who's worked on actual games. Logan DeMelt, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. I mean, 2022, this isn't the sci-fi future I thought we'd be promised. More flying cars, robot cats, but here we are, you know, pandemic and...
real cats.
The real cats in the brink of war. You never know. So, you know, I'd call it a Wednesday at this point.
Wait, real cats on the brink of war? What's going on in the cat kingdom that I've been missing?
I assume Russia is part of that problem, but, you know...
Fair.
Well, the Ukraine is saying it's not a big issue yet. And they're the ones that are being threatened of being invaded, so I'm going to
Ukraine.
Trust them. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's...
No. Not the puns. No. I blame Scotty. God damn you, Scotty. This is all your fault, Scotty.
So, Logan, welcome to the show. There's a fun story of how we got you on the show. I own a weird collectible... that I was looking for information on, and our friend Carnage put me in touch with you because you worked on the game and knew about the figure. It is a toy soldier statue. You worked on the game. Tell us, who are you? What did you do on the game? What do you do now? What brings you to our neck of the woods?
Sure. So my name is Logan DeMelt. I have been in games... over 16 years, but now I am currently at Meta at Reality Labs Research, working on AR and VR future tech as a design program manager. Specifically, where I started off in games dates back way before Signal Studios, at a small little startup company called Sony and a game called EverQuest.
Wow, that's an indie. That's the indies of indies.
It's an indie. Yeah, yeah. They were trying this new genre.
Shame nothing happened with it.
Well, they figured they'd try a little genre called MMOs, and you know, I think a couple places have picked it up since then. But I was a GM for EverQuest. I got put on as it's basically bona fide customer service because I was 18 at the time, and didn't last very long on the graveyard shift because I didn't do one basic thing that I was supposed to be trained on, which is log everything that you do as a GM.
Oh no!
So it was a short time there.
was there no training process?
You know, the training process for considering the position wasn't great. Someone who should have trained me probably should have been held responsible, but it's all good. It gave me my first taste and kind of allowed me to check out Star Wars Galaxy that was being developed upstairs while I was there in San Diego, which is super cool as a fan, and 18, like, my heart just poured for that game, and I was stoked to play it as a consumer later. And I didn't think I'd ever be back in games. I kind of went the path of music, was interning at Epic Records, interning for street team stuff at Epic Records, and then doing other work at Drive-Thru Records, little indie bands that I'm not sure a lot of people are familiar with at the time, because this was early 2000s, so a lot of screamo like Finch and Senses Fail. I'm not sure of the audience here on this one.
Nice.
Jesus, yeah. Like, you've had a pretty awesome career, like, already.
You know, when we were young, back then, when I was young, so it all made sense. Perfect. Now they're selling out tickets everywhere. So I was also, in order to actually have money at the time, I was, I went from working at Vans, building skateboards, to Hot Topic selling band tees, to at the time that I was doing these rounds with music folks, I was driving a cab in Los Angeles because I lived down in Southern California at the time. Have you guys ever seen the movie Collateral with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, Jacob saw it.
Are you about to be nope. like, oh, yeah, never by the way, that was based on my life.
No. I saw that movie and thought it was a good idea to be a cab driver. So, not saying I wanted... I know.
So now I understand why you're on the show, because you have a weird... lifelong thing of making bad choices. All right, cool.
You know, mainly... It was ultimately, it was a good profession for me because it was allowing me to be flexible with my hours for interning, and I started competing for Halo 2 during MLG and did fairly well with that.
Oh, wow.
That's how I ended up getting into the community that kind of led me back into games, and I ended up starting off at THQ as a contract worker for QA at $8.50 an hour. Testing out such fine titles like Silver Buckle Stables, which was a value soft title, Horse Equestrian Adventure.
Oh, wow. Oh,
shit, that's our main genre here, actually.
Because it was competing against such strong platforms as, you know, Barbie's Equestrian Adventure. So, you know, that's ultimately where you started. But I did fairly well there, and they moved me offsite to work on games like at Pandemic Studios and... various other internal and external developers to kind of help finish games up to get ready to ship. And it landed me up in Seattle working at a kind of small mid-range game dev house called Gas Powered Games, and they were shipping Supreme Commander. It's an RTS kind of in the vein of StarCraft, but it was way too overspecced for the current generation of computers when it shipped. It runs great now. It was horrible on performance then.
But yeah, I vaguely remember that. And the sequel, if I remember correctly, was actually like an Xbox game with gold title too.
Yeah, no, they did real.
Like they weren't like it wasn't a bad game either. Like, no. I remember playing it on Xbox.
Yeah, no,
or Xbox 360, I think.
Yeah, 360. So Supreme Commander Forged Alliance was its standalone, and much like, since it was shipped by THQ, THQ had this classic thing with all their Warhammer games to be able to have all the sequential sequels for RTSs be vanilla standalone, so they could standalone or they can add to the original game with the units. I made really good contacts with the devs, and I was requested to come back for the sequel, at which point some of the devs were looking to potentially leave there and start a studio. I was offered the chance to, hey, why don't you come up here? We're going to break off. We don't know what's going to happen, but leave your whole life of 25 years down in Southern California of Los Angeles and San Diego and come on up to Seattle, which was fine. And applied to a couple places and ended up joining Warner Brothers Entertainment at the time of a weird sort of time for them. This was right as... So they have Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment, which is Weeby, which was the Burbank arm, which originally beforehand controlled a lot of the movie licensing, game IP, that sort of stuff. And then I moved up north and they were starting WBG, which was WB Games. And this was right at the point of Midway acquisitions and due diligence trips to various dev houses and IP that was going to go in different directions. Let's see. A weeby.
I'm trying so hard not to lose my shit. I love that. My brain was still on the horse riding thing, and then suddenly I hear Weeby. I'm like, that's great.
Weeby, yeah. So WBG, I worked on Fear 2. I worked on Scribblenauts. I worked on a handful.
Fear.
You liked those Fear? Games. Yeah, out of Monolith.
I love those games.
We were sat inside of Monolith, actually, where Warner Brothers Games was kind of positioned within there as a developer, kind of publisher spinning up outside of Monolith, because Samantha Ryan was the president that kind of moved over and offering a dev studio as part of that deal. Worked through those acquisitions, worked morning and night and all sorts of weirdness, and ended up over at Uber Entertainment, which was that group that I mentioned before that spun out of Gas Powered Games. We were working on Intel projects for Subsurface Scattering, for Larrabee, which was canceled.
What was the last title you just said?
So Larrabee was Intel's internal graphic cards that ran various tech that never came to fruition.
Okay.
All processor based. Yeah, it was going to be current DGPUs, actually, the way they do rendering was far more computationally benefit for everybody. So, a shame, but it's okay.
Well, I also heard you say, I heard you say Lair, and I wasn't sure if you were saying, PS3 game that never got released?
Yeah.
Oh, it got released.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was Factor 5, right?
Well, wasn't it an Ozzy Osbourne game first, like dragon riding game first, and then they had to
turn it into
something else?
Oh, I have no clue.
You know what? You're right. It did come out because then everyone didn't give a shit when it came out. That's right. I forgot. Yeah. No. So anyways, I thought you were about to be I was working on Lair as well. It was crazy.
Ozzy
Osbourne bit off my head.
I wish that would be a good story, especially having it surgically reattached.
Yeah,
it'd be me that the rite of fame between me and a pigeon at that point. Like, I'm not the other one that you've heard about.
No, geez.
Or no, he bit the head off a bat. The story.
Oh yeah, bat.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
But we shipped Monday Night Combat, which was a 360 download game.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That it was on Steam too. Yeah. Dude,
yeah,
that was a great game.
Thank you. That was the first time jumping over to development. Brought in a good part at the time. We were playing a lot of Dota. We were playing a lot of TF2. And I came from a competitive FPS background. So we ended up going with Monday Night Combat as a theme. After shipping that title and working on the Steam version, I ended up going to Signal from there. At which point, they had just shipped Toy Soldiers Cold War, which was their second one, and I was working on the DLC. So that is my tie-in to Toy Soldiers. But while I was at Uber, that specific statue you asked me about.
I will have the picture of the episode will be an image of the statue. I've tweeted it out before. it's a beautiful, beautiful statue of what is the one of the commanders in the game.
The Kaiser, yeah.
The Kaiser.
Oh, I have that. Yeah, that's one you sold me in the show.
I was going to say, I had two of them, but one of them, the sword broke, and you'd got it.
Yeah, you either gave it to me or sold it to me for $5 or something like that.
It was something crazy like that. I think I just gave it to you because the sword was broken.
Yeah.
That's my only gripe with that statue. It is such a high-quality statue with, a wavy sword for some reason.
So the statues that we got, or the Signal purchased, Uber Entertainment, we also happened to reach out to the same company almost at the same time for statues for our characters from Monday Night Combat that we ended up selling at PAX and a couple other smaller conventions. But they're full resin. They're amazing. The guy's name who did that was Dez, and he was just starting up. He came from another factory, and he spun up his own practice in China. They were all hand-painted.
Oh, wow.
The quality on all of those things were phenomenal outside of the original molds that he did for that Kaiser and a couple of our characters because they were just single-piece resin. So anything that we sent over in the models, for all of us who had never done it, we had no clue to make things thicker, to make it that he was just going to do one-to-one copies or not reinforce it. So we all kind of learned a lesson, and their Signal Studios shipment ended up showing up in the container that we purchased, because we ended up ordering about 125 pieces, like 500 total units of our characters, and Signal had like 100 that they were doing for employees and like press events. So you have two of the like 100 that were shipped, by the way.
I don't remember how the fuck I got them. Like I'm racking my brain trying to think how I got these things, and my memory is just failing me. I don't remember how I got them.
I thought you got one of them off of eBay. Like it was. I thought the one that you used to replace it, I thought you got that one off of eBay. I don't know how you got the one that I have.
I can't. My memory is just failing. I'm old and dumb.
So. Well, you definitely got the second part right. Time.
I mean, admitting is the first step to solving the problem. So yeah. I think we're growing here as a team.
I don't think there's a way to solve either of those problems for him.
But luckily, if you get old enough, you'll just forget that you've discovered this. So it's a perpetual circle.
Well, when you get old enough, you also keel over. So
that's why interviews are fun with me, because I never remember what I asked the first time around.
We'll just do this again like 3 weeks from now. You'd be like, so welcome. Let's talk.
Who are you? And tell us like what brings you to our show. And it's like, well, I got this crazy story. I've worked fucking everywhere, literally everywhere, and I've done literally everything, it appears. Because it sounds like you have just done the craziest shit in your life. It is awesome. Like, the cool things that you've done working for different radio or different record labels and jumping from, like, every big company to big company.
It's been an interesting ride, and at the end of Signal, after shipping titles on every platform, including we were working on some gambling games for publishers off of proprietary things. We worked with Oculus as one of the signed-on devs for VR, which led me to this next gig. They were looking for a producer to kind of help manage internal demos for research that had large experience with outsourcing. So that is where my skills kind of lended myself to research.
Oh, wow. So, and what exactly are you doing now?
The same thing. So ultimately, I support design in a large part of the exercises and using external game studios as vendor partners and internal resources to help build demos to support research. So all of the future tech stuff, and some of it just came out this past fall at Meta's name change ceremony at Connect. We had a haptic glove that was discussed that I've worked on the team with to support, and just all the smart people let me play around with their very expensive, hypothetical, potentially shocky toys, you know?
That sounds ridiculous.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
So you just get to play with experimental toys, basically.
Of the AR, VR, future squinting, anywhere from... We tend to solve things from like 5 to 25 years and beyond. So, yeah.
That is badass.
It doesn't suck. It does not suck. Yeah, but it's titles of games that I've been on. I've been super lucky, and it's funny because I've given a few talks, and we'll do things like at some universities. Some friends teach courses for game dev, and I'll be on panels to help discuss pitches, because I've worked in roles from QA to design to production, various things in between, especially for small dev houses, with just knowing everything that works and functions from even IT. The only thing I don't really do is programming, but I can write scripts for batch protocols to automate some build process.
I don't understand what that means. I wish I did.
You could do like the 100-day code challenge from like code.org, and you too, even you, I promise, could write simple batch scripts.
100%. I can't even figure out HTML. I'm like a lost cause with technology anymore. I used to know things when I was young. And then, like, as I got older, like, computers just got more complex, and like new programming languages came out and everything else. And I'm like, where's my DOS, like MS-DOS gorillas?
Trying to figure out you know, flash right before it dies. You're like, I finally got it. And they're like, we're killing it. Thanks.
Son of a bitch. Spent the past 4 years of my life working on this.
Yeah, no, it's been interesting. I mean, from WB, there was a game that I worked on, which was, it's only going to sound weird if I say it out loud, because at the time, I'm sure it was a great tax.
Make it sound weird, then. As you can.
Okay, I worked on a game for a group called PEPFAR, which is Presidential Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, and it was an Unreal Engine 3 game that was like a multi-layer game to help folks in Africa understand not to get AIDS. But let me explain the premise. This was going to be presented as a special presentation for World AIDS Day in Africa, which I avoided going to because I didn't necessarily want all the vaccines that were required to go there. Fair. But I'm going to go out and say I am 100% vaxxed and boosted, and everybody should go do that. Okay.
Good. Thumbs up.
But I, at the time, I just wasn't hip with malaria pills or like multiple shots to go into like the, we're going to the good bug net hotels. Like, I'll pass. The game is some kids on a bus get pulled over by a gorilla-esque guy with an AK-47. They take young teenaged females out of the bus, at which point you proceed in a bunch of mini games, like hopping over fences and breaking an alarm systems to get into clubs to steal money to then somehow this equals giving money to your bus driver to fix the tire that became flat, and then you catch the bus to go to World AIDS Day where there's a dance off, and then the girls are returned because the bus driver runs over the gorilla guy.
How can we play this game?
It doesn't exist. It was just for that event, and yeah. And the moral of the story is
fucking yeah!
Just wear a condom if you're going to be a dude that steals teenage girls from from buses.
I think the better point of the story is don't kidnap people. But Anger, thank you so much for dropping a sub. This is your third month. Thank you so much. Always love seeing you in chat. So thank you for the sub. Yeah, this game. What the... Like, yeah, it doesn't exist anywhere outside it. Like, the Lost Levels needs to get on this shit and find an unreleased, like, beta copy of this game.
I think I have a copy of it still on CD somewhere, but I...
CD? Oh, my God. No one has CD drives anymore. We're screwed.
I was going to say, I just got my new laptop for work. This damn thing doesn't even have a USB drive on it. Like, what?
Not even a USB-C?
No. Or so no, it has USB-C.
Well, oh, okay.
But like, but,
well, that's a USB drive then.
Well,
Jacob, right, for the future. Come on.
All right, for old man come Jacob, on. Like no. Like,
and I can't put my thumb drive in it, so it doesn't count.
we'll get you a dongle, Grandpa. It's fine. Don't
I'll
worry.
I'll show you a dongle, you little bastard.
Oh my god. I still have a CD drive. I actually go out and if my computer doesn't have one, I'll buy one, put it in. I like having CD drives. I rarely ever use them, but I like having them.
Yeah. I have an external chillin' just for that reason. You gotta have it handy for some reason.
I have a fucking 3.5 floppy drive that I have.
Okay, now that's just unnecessary.
Yeah, you are correct. But, you know, back when I was, you know, in like middle school,
I have
that's
a 5.25 drive just
had.
Hanging out.
No, that was 5.5, and that was elementary school for me.
I have a
couple of those.
I think we're all in roughly the same age category from what I'm guessing here. But I no, actually
they're ancient. I'm much younger.
Yes, perfect. You know, picture of use.
Then I could probably date myself and ironically be the oldest person here, which is
dates himself pretty frequently.
What? Okay,
you remember when radios came out? What you're trying to say?
But when they had talkies, I remember the talkies.
Quiet down, I'm trying to listen to my programs.
I was born in 82, actually, and we'll be.
I'm older, 81.
Toof. My partner sitting not more than 10 feet away is also 81, so you're in good company.
Born in 81 or is actually 81? I mean, more, power you, more power to you either way.
Sometimes she acts like she's 81. She enjoys classical music and crochet
and sweaters.
And she gets sweaters.
Oh, so she and was that, born and in tonight the 1920s.
You're
going to
figure
okay.
out just how much she likes murder. So.
She's offering me fruit snacks, and I'm not sure what it's laced with. It's going to be a fun night. No, she was born in 81, I was born in 82, so I'm about to turn 40 in less than a month, and I'm super excited to have new pains. That's all I'm looking forward to is new pains.
Start taking your Advil every morning.
I call those the adult multivitamins. Thank you very much. Take your dailies.
Oh, I've got my I got plenty of dailies.
You got your click-clacks of the edible variety.
So, Joe, did you graduate in 99 or 2000 from
99.
High school? Oof. The last class.
Yeah.
I assumed
the last
mine was
of the
90s. I assumed 2000, none of it was going to happen. So, well, you know,
why? Because of Y2K? Just going to shut everything down?
Since I've been a kid, there's been like Desert Storm, there's been like everything in the 80s. Like every century, it seems like there's something else to where it's just like, this is it. This is the end. So,
yeah, now we have a pandemic.
Yeah, but life has already prepared me for this moment, specifically for the pandemic when it happened. So I was at Meta on contract before I was hired as an FTE for the role that I'm in right now.
Sure.
I took 3 weeks off to kind of do a quick tour of Japan, Vietnam, Thailand, and South Korea right in January and February of 2020 at the start of the pandemic where it broke out. Hey, everybody.
Oh, wow.
I broke my collarbone and went to an international hospital from moped ride and ended up having 3 people with COVID in there. But, you know, no one's worried about it then. So.
Oh, shit. Oh,
wow.
Only when going from Vietnam to Thailand did they start canceling flights to China. And then from Thailand to South Korea, we were temperature checked to leave. South Korea, we were temperature checked, like, leaving the plane, leaving our terminal, going to the mall, to the internal airport the hotel that we stayed at in the mall, leaving parts of the internal mall to a different part of the wing, going to our next plane, getting back to the U.S. Hi, have you been to China in the past 2 weeks? No, not at all. Okay, welcome back.
Wow.
Rational. Everything's fine. It's all cut.
So this show is like literally the most boring thing you've ever done in your life.
That's not true. Come on. It's like second. No. No, I'm just kidding. Fellow Cat Dead, you're good age. Guys are...
Yes, on your Twitter account, you are proudly listed as a cat dad. How many cats do you have?
Currently, I have 3 kitties.
3. What are the names?
We have Boxy, much like the internet meme, and then Josephine, Josie for short, and then Midnight or Midi for short for a music call out.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a meme. I only remember the person. Forever ago.
That's, you see? Old people talk. The old people are talking. Boxy, back in the day, the queen of slash B. became very much meme-y, sure. A meme-y? Like a weeby?
I will never not learn about that. Oh,
weeby.
Oh, my lord. Oh, I got you beat on the cat count, though.
Yeah, you said you have, like 9 or 10.
Oh, no, 13.
Oh, fuck me, dude.
Yeah, 13
that
of them.
So much cat boxes. How, like...
Yes, we ask that every time.
Sure, Jacob and Aki, you're tired of hearing about how many friggin' cats I have.
No. Okay, so lightning round. 13 yeah. Names. I will count. You just say the names as fast as you can.
As fast as I can? Shit.
As fast as you can. No. This is like kids.
You're not going to be able to understand what he's saying, but okay.
That's fine. Go ahead. I'm good at this. Go ahead. Right. On the count of 3, ready? 1,
two, three, go.
Piddles, Punk, Peaches, Coltrane, Potato, Pork, Bean, Predator, Mama, Pickle, Peanut Butter, Jelly.
Oh, right, because Pork and Bean are two, right? And so it's Peanut Butter and Jelly. Right. Okay.
Yes.
Good job.
Did I get them all? 13? Or did I miss one?
No. That was 13.
All right.
Mike, that was amazing. You are a better cat dad than me.
You got a lot. You got to remember them. And they all look distinct except for Mama and Coltrane. They look near identical. And they're like, we can't tell them apart half the time. And I'm like, hi, Mama. It's like, oh, no, you're Coltrane because you're meowing at me. It's crazy how all of them look distinct enough to tell them apart except those two.
I'd call you a crazy cat person, but I think you've passed a number where that actually, like,
yeah,
like you're above that.
Yep.
Like, my mom's a crazy cat lady in the wood just because she bought a house up here that happens to, like, there was six ferals there, and the feral that got out just continued to have cats, so she has nine, and I think she's insane. But you're
13. Ours are all indoor. Yeah, they aren't indoor outdoor cats because we live in town. We live right on like the main road in town, so we can't have outdoor cats because they would be outdoor flats. Ha ha ha.
Let me put it to you this way: every single, like, I'm allergic to cats, and so literally every single time I have to, like, when I go up to Joe's house, I actually have to give myself double dosage of my meds just so I don't end up in a, like, sneezing, like, red-eyed, like, teary-eyed fit every single time. And it sometimes that doesn't work.
Sometimes. Oof. So it's just, like, straight, you're mainlining Benadryl just to have a conversation with him?
Pretty much.
Benadryl, like, IV.
Like, it will be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to hang out for the whole day at Joe's house. And then, like, 2 hours later, I'm like, all right, I'm out.
I can't breathe. Like, I can't breathe.
I can't see anymore.
So, but are you, and this is a dead serious question, Joe, do you realize that, like, cat urine actually makes you crazy, too?
Yes.
Like,
I have heard that, yes. And it makes you, doesn't it make you more attracted to cats?
Yeah. It causes, I think it's their poop. I take it back. It's not even their piss. It's their poop. So, like, I'm just curious, like, budget for cat litter alone, like, has to be.
I don't even know. My wife handles all the budgeting and all the finances. So I don't want to know. It's like the amount that we spend on food and litter and good Lord, like, I can't even begin to imagine.
I mean, you have to imagine. The money is coming from somewhere. So it's not
she
imagine.
Earns it.
Not
like, so I do this fucking thing.
Sugar cat mama. That's a sweet gig. I'm ready to dress up in an outfit. I'll come to your house. It looks cozy. There's stuff to play with and knock down in the background.
Yeah, there's lots of things to knock down in the background in my place. Way too many statues have been broken because of these cats. But
like a toy soldier's statue that you then pawn off to Jacob and have no clue that it's like one of 100. That's fine. That's no big deal.
I got the other one right there hanging out on my shelf.
That is an insane amount of things. And what state are you in? Just
Pennsylvania.
Curious.
Are you going to rob me?
No. That's way too much of a commitment. That's the other side of the country. I'm in Seattle.
It also means that you'd have to see Joe. And
Yeah, that's.
I already have a bad enough cat problem. I'd be wary of the air there to, like, just produce two cats in my pocket.
Like, you come to visit, you go home, and you're like, how did we get more? What happened?
Yeah, I'd be like, I took these sweet statues. Wait, why do I have three cats? What the fuck?
No, the worst problem about that is that, like, you know, you'd come home with three cats, and Joe's just like, what are you talking about? I still got my 13.
No, he'd be like, no, what are you talking about? I'm up to 15.
Yeah, right.
So, I thought someone took cats, but somehow I have more. I don't understand. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Oh my God. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned on Twitter, someone was asking some games that you've spent a lot of time with, and one of them was Rock Band.
Yeah.
Tell me about your love for Rock Band, because I am a huge Rock Band fiend.
Oh, God.
I could see the other guest hosts on this aren't necessarily as hip with Rock Band, your love of cats, or other items.
You don't understand. He has every song, but like what, three?
Three.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has entire hard drives that are just devoted to having those songs installed so he cannot play them.
No, I don't have a hard drive dedicated. I have a console dedicated to Rock Band because
two songs that he still doesn't fucking play. It doesn't
because matter. Having that many files on the console actually makes it run horribly.
It's true. It is absolutely, that's 100% true statement. In fact, some of the testing for compliance requesting for like hardware installs as Xbox is kind of mature and allowed for game installs, the internal tools that they have to be able to fill up the hard drive, and then you still have to pass compliance with a completely full hard drive and no bits being able to be written or jumping to a flash thumb drive from 360 to be able to use that as reference, and then hard drive speeds, but it's... See, this is how nerdy and how horrible game dev is. It's absolutely a bit like the worst case scenario, and you're like, go ahead and test it. And it's fucking insanity because you expect different results all the time. Damn. But Rock Band, no, I have a ton of songs. I'm not missing just three. I think you're a crazy man. Once again, let's go on par. But it was
a crazy man.
I came from music, right? I love all genres of music. I have a deep love for live performances. I've seen some interesting bands at interesting points in my life. Notably, like Nirvana, right before Kurt passed away. I saw No Doubt, Incubus is like garage bands because I grew up in Southern California. My first show was Tool as like a 12-year-old for a Halloween show. Soundgarden, right before they broke up. I mean, I love music. It's deep in the heart for sure.
Damn, you've seen some crazy shows.
It's been a weird ride. This is like whatever simulation of the Matrix we're in. Like I'm into it, but then I'm pretty sure I glitched out a little bit once I crashed in Vietnam last year in January. Because then there's a pandemic. Everything's been a little chaotic. There's been insurrections. We're just like it's wacko. Who knows? I could be dead. I'm not saying you guys are made up, but I'm the main character. No, that's all I know.
We are in your hell. We are your personal hell. This is absolutely hell. You made it, buddy. How you doing?
they have two guys around my age and then just one younger generation person sighing. That sounds accurate. Oh, God, the old people are talking about this shit again.
Oh, no, I completely spaced out. I have no idea what I've been talking about. For a while now, actually.
Proud of you, Aki.
Perfect. Thank you. Just complete. Once the boomers are done talking, I'll step in. I got it. Okay.
Freaking old people. Can we talk about anime titties yet?
Riding, and then you had me at fear, and you haven't had me at any the rest of the time.
Aki, did you know Fear 3 is back on the Xbox Marketplace right now for $20?
I didn't know it was even off. When did it get taken off?
Oh, it's been gone for a while. Fear 1 and Fear Files are both gone, but you could buy 2 and 3 for $20 each.
I have all of them on disc.
Oh, wow. Fear Files is like worth $70 now. Games.
Oh, wow. Jeez. I'm never going to sell it, but again, I love those games.
Yeah, there's I've been trying to find games, it, and it is not cheap. It sucks.
Ew.
Oh, man.
I really wish they'd make another Fear game. I really, really miss that series.
Logan, you have any insight on if they're making a new one?
If Monolith, I mean, they're all of but 6 miles away from my house. I could go over and, you know, probably not get let in at this point, but
go over there and make them. Watch over them like a hawk. Make them make a new Fear game.
I don't think that's how that works, but...
Well, you know... It's gonna be how it works because I need a new Fear game. Damn it!
Did you ever play along that line? Did you ever play Clive Barker's Undying?
No, I've never heard of that one. Now I know I need to play that if it's anything like Fear.
Yeah, I'd recommend. That's a good one. It's one of the few games that's actually ever made me jump at all. And I love horror films. Like I watched them as a kid. Not the most sane upbringing, but you know I've. child of a divorced mom-only house that just kind of would give me $20 and let me go rent horror films and eat pizza. So, you know, I'd say I turned out fine, I think.
It worked.
Fine-ish?
Fine-ish, yeah, you know.
Again, you're on our show, so how good are things really?
That's the ish. It's just a stretch, right? Ish.
We are the ish.
Okay. We are the ish. See, just change the name. We are the ish podcast. Like, whatever you're thinking. Just cut ish.
Well, SNL hasn't caught on, so maybe the ish will.
So what does
someone might listen?
You don't even let them get the question out. You're just like,
no, that's because I know what he's going to ask. Everyone asks it. No. I know it. I knew the start of it.
I think it's the fact that there's the in front of it.
Yeah. Why is the there? Because it used to be small, medium, large because of the size of the original
small, medium, large guys. Podcast.
That just sounds so weird.
Yeah.
With the at the start of that one.
So that's just the sizing of the original speakers?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was large, obviously. Yeah, you can't tell from the video on Twitter. Yeah, I'm pretty big.
I'm assuming Jacob's a skinny little shit.
No.
No.
Nope. He
really?
Although he's you slimmed down last time I saw you.
I don't know why.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you.
No, I didn't.
No? I thought you did.
No. No, like the pandemic has actually made me get fatter.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so maybe too. I'm the small now and Jacob's the medium and
yeah, Jacob's the medium, large. I'm large.
I mean, I'm happy and to I'll be extra large. I'm 6'4" and might be wow. Ginormous. So you need XL now? Change the name again. Just start. Let's go. Come on.
The Smixel podcast.
SMLLL.
We've increased our viewership by one extra person who's now speaking. Hooray. No,
yay. Oh, no, man.
I appreciate the result. It's fun to see people that have been, you know, you obviously have a very large vocabulary for games and appreciation for game devs and some of the story. And I'm honored to come on your podcast.
Well, I'm glad that you came on to chat with us. Is there anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up?
I mean, it's all just individual stories, and none of them ever make sense out of context. I think I've done a pretty good job horrifying you even with things that I'm not sure I'm allowed to disclaim. So, you know. But well, of that list, there's only one game that I will mention because I didn't play... Since you mentioned that, have played more than 500 hours plus list that happened to have been on Twitter, is I have one favorite game, and I want to know who here has played it, and it is Chrono Trigger.
I have played Chrono Trigger.
Okay. And do you like Chrono Trigger?
I fucking love Chrono Trigger.
There we go.
It is top three RPGs of all time, alongside Final Fantasy VI and Earthbound.
See? I'm not agent, so I've never played any of these games.
It's available on newer, smaller consoles. Young person,
maybe, but graphically they're
yeah.
Chrono Trigger is fucking beautiful. You shut your mouth.
if they created updated versions of them, I would have to play them.
But. No, they did, and they added like anime style cutscenes, which doesn't necessarily match my interpretation.
I don't care. It's anime. It's good.
that artwork and update just didn't capture the same feeling for me when I saw it. It kind of disappointed me a little bit, but that's from a SNES perspective, I guess, of loving pixels, the music.
Well, they updated it, so it's not that version anymore.
You Carnage need to says, it if it has stuff. Boobs, Dark Mika will be interested. Yeah, Aki needs some anime titties to be...
No.
I haven't played one of those games in so long. You have no idea. I am no. Jonesing for one.
Carnage's statement is absolutely false. I have titties. Aki is not interested in me.
Hey, I am fine with seeing all of them. I don't care who they belong to.
All right. I like how you're thinking. All right. You know, just send me your phone number after the show, and I'll send you along some boobs.
No, so, you can do that on Twitter.
There is boobs in there, and there's even a cave girl that wears nothing but like a piece of fur. And she's got...
I always appreciate that.
See? There you go.
See, you should play Chrono Trigger.
It was one of the first games that really like pulled my heart towards games even more. I think it was my first RPG I played, and then went back to play more different ones because it was the first new game plus I ever hit, and being able to finish the game at any point in a time travel game where you kind of saw progression from three different standpoints, or three or four, multiple time points, four. It's been so long since I played it now, and I'm getting old and I forget stuff. I have to defrag this fucking horrible memory of mine.
Remember defragging, kids?
Yes. That's one I do know. You're finally talking about shit I understand.
But yeah, the idea of like finishing the game and then going back and trying it again with slightly powerful characters, but deciding just to end the game then, and it had a different you got a different ending. Like, why has this fucking existed? So
I know it was so cool at the time to be like, oh, I can end at any time and get a different ending depending on when in the story I end the game. It had what, like 15 endings, something crazy like that.
13, I think, but I think you're pretty spot on. There might have been extras later that were discovered that I didn't even know about.
It's ridiculous, you know, and it was possible to beat the game by yourself at the very beginning of the game and get a super hidden ending.
Yep.
Yeah, see, I would have gotten the one where you're super powerful and you win, and that would have been it, because I would have just kept replaying with my character until I was... Every one of the characters was a shiny
more endings god. Than Joe has cats.
I don't think that's possible.
Be the same, Carnage. They might be the same, but close. Oh, man.
Possible. I'm happy to stick around for the news, though, because this might be my only chance to be introduced to outside world knowledge from things outside of my echo chamber of, you know, Google.
You seem to think that we have knowledge, and that's a mistake.
You're supposed to be young, so either learn it from you or I learn it from TikTok. It's one of the two.
Aki doesn't actually come with news on the show. She just listens to me ramble. I'm the one who has all the news.
Okay, then bring it, Joe. Yeah. Come on.
Jacob, are you ready for news?
Yeah.
I have two pieces of news. I feel pretty good. I got two.
See? Okay, what are your two?
Okay, the first one is that Halo Infinite is now, as I said last week, how they're changing the prices of everything. They're also allowing you to get that premium currency without having to pay for it. I don't know when that's being introduced, but that is being introduced. You can now play the game and earn that currency somehow.
Yay.
Just don't know how, because they haven't specified. Ooh. And the other one is a much more important one. Crysis 4! It's coming out. It exists, and I'm so happy.
Yep, I was going to bring that up eventually, but Crytek did announce a new Crysis game is in development, so you are losing your shit about that.
They get me.
Other people losing their shit is pretty much everyone who has PlayStation Plus or games with gold, because there's a lot of pissed off people this month.
Why?
Yeah, the games look kind of...
Yeah, PlayStation Plus, they have UFC 4 on the PlayStation 4.
Fuck that.
Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep on PS4, and Planet Coaster on PS5. I think Planet Coaster's pretty good. It's a shame it doesn't give you the PS4 version, but whatever. UFC is going to be hit and miss because it's a sports game, and then Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep... was already given in the Borderlands 2 Handsome Collection. This is just a standalone release of DLC. It's not a good month for PlayStation Plus.
Oh, that's weird. Okay. Because initially I looked at it and it was just like, oh, this is like, in my eyes, I was like, oh, that's pretty solid. Because that Planet Coaster thing, like, those games aren't cheap. And like, they really don't go on sale.
Yeah, the problem is it's only the PS5 version. So a lot of people...
Most people don't have one. And
yeah.
Yeah, but still, couldn't you just pop it into your account and then just be like, okay, cool, and then play it later?
Okay, but you can't play it on PS4, which is what people want to do.
Well, okay. I don't know. I always viewed it as like, all right, just adding this to my backlog of over 1,000 games that I have yet to play. Like,
honestly, I'm a little surprised even that many people want to play it. I would have figured that would be a very niche game.
Honestly, I like, yeah, I don't even care about them. But then I saw that there's like Knight Rider DLC, and I was just like, oh, sweet. I'm going to like fucking have like a kit roller coaster. And then like I go to see how much the damn game costs plus the DLC. And I was just like, all right, fuck this. I am never playing this game. Sorry, kit.
Because Jacob's a cheap ass.
there's two questions I have, because okay. This is something that the podcast folks can't necessarily witness if they're not watching your excellent stream on Twitch. I clicked on a link from Moobot that's listed as Wet Pancakes.
Yes. Did it make you happy?
I had someone scream Wet Pancakes in my ear, and I'm not quite sure where that came from.
Yes, that is a long-running joke of our show. When people would donate bits, if they would donate a lot, we have a sound clip from our friend George, who is the narrator for the show. He does all the intros. He does all our special intros. He just screamed out, dropping bits all over your fucking face. Wet pancakes. And it just, we
love it.
Pancake emotes. We actually did a run of Wet Pancake lip balm,
which by the way, I forgot to tell you, Joe, we finally found our tubes of it. And, so we actually did it, and I will tell you, it actually tastes like cheap, like diner pancake.
Yeah, like, I know. Right. Yeah, like, it's amazing.
there's a weird, like, you know, like taste of like cheap maple syrup and butter in that. And I'm just like, this is odd, and I want more. I'm impressed.
I did not expect those to actually taste like anything.
Yeah, I was real shocked. But anyway.
So, did you ever look at what Urban Dictionary thinks a wet pancake is?
Yes.
I don't want to even. I do want
to
know.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. I need to know. I never even thought to check that out. What is that?
Go ahead, Jacob. Look it up.
No, because I only have a company left.
Go ahead, Logan. I know you're eager to tell us. Clearing your throat, ready to go.
To quote unquote wet pancaked is the act of smearing one on another's anus until ass slop ensues.
Wait, smearing what?
Smearing one, a wet pancake, I'd assume.
Oh my lord.
And in context, the sentence is, get a wet pancake mug from your girlfriend, Lisa.
Oh my God. That's not the version I heard. I just heard like the batter is, you know, obviously what you would expect.
No, Joe, we don't know.
Semen.
There we go.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord.
Yeah, okay. So that's the show. So you signed up for.
Being on this show yet, or what?
I mean, yeah, I'm into it. I'm here.
I mean, you're in hell. You might as well enjoy it.
You embrace it. You can't run from it. You just
did you
have
say
to
there was a
it?
Second question you had, or was the...
you said multiple questions.
Well, because it said there's Carnage. Carnage triggered off a unique, and it says, everyone take a drink. And I didn't see or hear any of you people take a drink. Not one.
I didn't
well
see
I'm constantly drinking over here, so
well, why don't you look at Twitch chat? Like, am I the only I understand we're just supposed to be voices. There we go. What do you
know? I watch it's just usually that happens when we're reading something and it says unique, because what was the name of the guy?
Oh, we're not naming
garbage?
Him. We're not naming him. No. Okay. There was a reviewer who went overboard with using the word unique in their reviews. So
like
we,
10, 20, 30 times.
Not that many. Like 5, 6, 7 times in a review. It was out of hand.
The reviews were like 2 paragraphs.
Yeah, so it was out of hand. So
to
we,
the point that it wasn't unique anymore.
Pretty much. So now when we have developers on and they say that their game is unique and it has a unique aspect to it and a unique character set and a unique this, it's just overused. And
100% that means they're ripping off another game and they have no good idea how to say that. We promise this is completely unique. You've never seen it. This is a unique looting system. That means it's a common looting system. There's unique armor classes. It's like, oh, this is, let me guess. let me guess, you have plate, maybe some leather. How did you know?
So yes, you understand our plight.
You really have to, especially if you take inspiration, is a good one to use when you're like, we love this game, we've played it a ton, we wanted to make something completely not different from it. In the same vein, sure, but like separate. This is not the same game. If you're to play Team Fortress 2 as an example, and you played Monday Night Combat, they're not really the same game. Are they a mix of unique cel-shaded characters in a fighting style that happens to be third-person fighting in a MOBA-style lane? Absolutely. It's a different thing that didn't necessarily exist quite at that time, and that's what we were going. It was, quote-unquote, unique, but really it was a mix-up of several genres, which we really loved playing at the time.
So yeah, I said now everything's unique, and the word is completely worthless to have.
No.
So. They might as well say, this is a carbon copy of this with this stuff changed. The end. Make it real easy.
Yeah, up to 30% for lawsuit reasons. That's all we did. The bare minimum. That asset has changed 30%. We'll take that shit to court and stand on it. So let's
Speaking
go.
Of the bare minimum, Games with Gold were announced for February.
My birth month, they better be good.
They're not. I'm so sorry.
They're really not. It's all those earlier today. I don't remember what they were, but I was like, no, all of them.
Well, on Xbox One, they're giving away Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Curse.
Okay.
Which could be okay if it weren't, like, 6 years old.
And on sale, like, fairly frequently. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're giving away Aerial Knights Never Yield, which I'm excited about. I haven't played this one. I've heard a lot of good about it.
It's a game I don't have, so I'm automatically cool about it. So.
Yeah, but it's still only a $12 game, so a lot of people are upset about it. The Xbox 360 is where the hits keep coming with Hydrophobia.
Hydrophobia? No way!
I like that game. I dug it back in the day. I thought it was good.
I heard the water physics were great, but the game itself was pretty...
Yeah, the game's so-so, but yeah, the water physics are some of the most amazing just in general. Made their own system specifically for it, and it is fucking amazing.
They were super... Go ahead, Jacob. I've got a story for this one.
I thought it was good, but if I remember correctly, the game's not finished.
No, it never was. I think it got two parts on PlayStation.
There was supposed to be DLC.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a three-part thing. Xbox and got one, PlayStation got two, and no one got three. Steam only has one.
The best part about Hydrophobia is that was released in 2010, and that was released for Summer of Arcade back when they had that program intact.
Oh my god.
The reason I know that is because Monday Night Combat, we were in that same slot. We were the fifth game to be released.
Yes.
In that year.
Because if you bought all the games, you got
Microsoft points back. Yeah.
You got exclusive like arcade stuff. You got entered for contest. And in that year, we had Castlevania, Lara Croft, Limbo, Hydro Thunder, which was so it wasn't Hydrophobia because Hydrophobia was about to be released. But it got pushed out, but they were for some reason included in the same press tour for us for that Summer of Arcade and Monday Night Combat. But so I got to hang out with those guys for a long time, and we did a whole bunch of things, but it was weird. It was weird to hang out with them. They're it's a weird set of devs, but I great love for the boys from Limbo. I still hang out with them, and they were partiers. Woo!
That's all right, I remember when I used to be able to party.
You can't just leave us with, oh yeah, man, those guys are weird. Whoa, all right, details. We need
just
details.
They were super, super into their game at a level which was no longer indie gamer. Like, no longer indie game dev.
Oh,
like,
my.
Like, just, yeah, possibly. I don't know. I'm just going to leave it at that. I will never speak ill of the, I think, dead studio at this point.
Oh, man. Well, that's not it, because there's another game with Games with Gold. This one, it's only 15 years old, Band of Bugs.
It's not a game I don't know.
Listen, like, okay. Listen to that raucous applause for saying Band of Bugs.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, well, I mean, good for them, you know?
I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean,
the studio probably doesn't exist anymore, but yeah, good for them.
Yeah, I don't think Ninja Bee exists anymore. I haven't heard from them in a couple years.
Yeah, here's my thing. Like, after the backwards compatibility sale that they just had, I am now, like, which I spent more than I'd care to say on. But it's just, like, I now have, like, all these, like, I got a shitload of extra titles from that thing. And now I'm just like, great, I just fucked myself over on Games with Gold for, like, the rest of my days. Because that's where they're going to be pulling them all from. Like, so now I'm just like, I was already like, all right, cool, it's a game I don't have. Now I'm just like anticipating, like hoping.
Yeah, you're going to have all of them now. From now on.
Yeah, I am.
All you can hope is that they give away like Chicken Little on the original Xbox.
Ninja Bee was specifically just Wahoo Studios self-funded titles, and they did all the Keefling stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Yep.
Keflings. Yeah.
Those are fun. Those are cute.
Continue to stick with that, but did they ever release anything else? Because I haven't been to a conference for a hot minute.
I don't think they exist anymore.
Yeah, I think their last thing they released was a couple years ago. Huh. Yeah, see if I could look them up.
I thought I looked them up not too long ago. Yeah. Because, like, there's a couple of, like, studios where, like, back on the 360, I got, like, all of their titles. And it's just, like, all of a sudden they just, like, straight up disappeared. Like, the other one is, the ones that, wait, Cloning Clyde. Who did that?
That was Ninja Bee.
Oh, yeah. wait, was it?
Yes. Oh, I'm not making shit up.
Oh, then no. Then if it's,
are you
if
it's sure?
That, yeah, no, that was Ninja Bee.
Because if it's who I'm thinking of, then they stopped making stuff for the Xbox, and then they moved over to Oculus, and that's all they do now. Like, they're still... Ninja Bee, did they also do Splosion Man?
No, that was
Twisted Pixel.
Thank you. All right. Twisted Pixel, they're the ones that do nothing but Oculus games now.
Yeah, Ninja Bee
hasn't done anything since 2018, a handful of Kelflings, and the whole company as a whole hasn't made anything since 2019, one leaves.
Yeah. Huh.
So. Yeah, I mean, big love for the guys at Twisted Pixel. They were arcade. There was a weird bond amongst all the devs at that point, which were kind of helping 360 and being arcade devs and kind of doing the content lift, as it were, at the time, to kind of bring higher quality digital download only at such a painful point in that cycle. Because, I mean, the reason MNC didn't have a better life is we shifted on Unreal, and at the time, Microsoft would only ever allow a 5 megabyte upload for title update at all. That was it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They used to be a pain in the ass trying to get updates.
You have no fucking clue what a pain in the ass is, but you're just like, well, to update Unreal, we have to repatch the executable if we're going to add anything. So that's going to be more than 5 megabytes, guys. And I just downloaded something from Call of Duty, which was 40 megs. So, you know, I think your system supports it. They're like, no. Our system's completely like, what do you know? No. And other games hold no precedence. It wasn't no more than a year later that they started having like digital download games and you're able to fully do it, and it was just complete and utter bullshit.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep, but the devs, I mean, that's the kind of world you're in where it's like, cool, we brought this console, we were talking to MLG, we were really excited to have a digital like shooter game that we could support that would hopefully bond and duo with the crowd. What we released one free DLC. And then the rest is history. It got moved to Steam. It had a different... There was an update version, and then it just... Not enough to survive the servers, because it's a different beast on Steam. You're competing against Counter-Strike and different games that... It just didn't hit as well as it did on console. Because it was meant to... It was built for console. It was made for console.
Do you think it's something that could ever be brought back?
Good question. Absolutely. It was a weird dream team that kind of worked on it, where I was the youngest person in games there as far as like experience. And at the time I had about 6 years of experience, everybody else there was like 10 plus, 15 plus year vets, and there was 17 of us that shipped that title.
What title are we talking about? Because I got once we hit Kelflings, I forgot everything that happened before that because I got so focused on Kelflings that I don't know what we were talking what game we were talking about anymore.
It was Monday Night Combat.
Okay.
Summer of Arcade. I know we're segment. We'll get back there from the news. We made it there. We made it there. From the news back to me just not shutting up, and I'll shut up. I promise.
No.
No, but there could be a world, but Uber Entertainment became a different company because they were working on what is that game called? Oh, wow. For Steam, it's an outer space. It was supposed to have come out.
That's not super helpful.
Kerbal Space, Kerbal 2. So they were doing Project for Hire stuff. They renamed the studio to get rid of the weird kind of back news from Uber and anything that was tied to. Because Uber Entertainment came out at the same time that Uber the car company came out. Bad timing, I understand. That was an awkward E3. So they kind of transitioned. They changed the name of the studio. And then there was a bunch of drama with Division. Private Division is the publisher for Kerbal. And so that team that was working there at formerly Uber now works at Private Division at a Kerbal-only developer. So that studio exists on paper, as far as I know of.
That is interesting. I didn't know about that.
It's quietly swept underneath the rug, much like many other studios.
So do you think we're going to see any studio shut down with the whole Microsoft acquisition of Activision?
I hope not. Like, my heart really hopes not. Microsoft, is, as far as I know, they've only closed a couple studios, right, that shouldn't have been closed. If anything, from my perspective, and just my perspective alone, I think it'll hopefully do some good to the tarnish that's been brought upon Blizzard in the past years.
They haven't been doing too well.
No. I'm hoping it gives
Overwatch.
Asking
if people have phones.
The Diablo. That was the awkward BlizzCon that I was at. I was sitting there at that panel.
Oh, you were there for that?
Oh yeah. That was a good time.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's a good chance to see some friends because I used to play a bunch of WoW. Ultimately, I hope it just infuses the talent that's there with the ways to kind of produce games like Turn 10 has and other Microsoft-funded studios and the payment structure. Like, Blizzard runs a bit more off of passion than pay, and they make up for it with body counts. So, you know, maybe that'll turn around with Microsoft helping front the bill that they'll, you know.
I am worried. They announced, that they're hiring for an unannounced game. And it's going to be a survival game. And, like, they immediately lost me when they said survival.
Yeah, fuck that.
And that's just because you don't like the genre?
I'm just,
that, like, genre shit.
I don't like the genre. I'm not a fan of the mechanics. And I think there's just too many survival games.
Yeah, it's fair. There's more than one survival game. Therefore, there are too many. You are correct.
it's a genre a lot of people care about. So, you know, I mean, there's flip sides of it.
It's disappointing that Blizzard is doing that. It's like, who is Rare doing the Grounded, is it called?
I don't know. I can't think of a recent Rare title.
Is that the one where the kids are tiny and they're living in the yard? Yeah, Grounded.
Oof. Okay, I've seen the trailer. The name just didn't stick.
It has giant spiders. Don't watch it. It's terrible.
Oh, Obsidian.
And they're realistic. Okay.
Obsidian, not Rare. My bad.
And Obsidian was purchased by Microsoft, right?
Yep. That's another Microsoft studio.
But they also produced the best Fallout that I've... Like, Fallout New Vegas is just like chef's kiss to Fallout as far as...
I know. Now they have Bethesda and Obsidian. Are we going to see New Vegas 2? Are we going to see Obsidian work on Fallout again? How great would that be?
Are
we going to see games released without a million bugs?
No.
That's a Fallout. Like, that engine itself is just, it needs
a broken piece of crap.
Yeah.
It's the Bethesda charm.
It's the charm.
No, really not.
Save often and save consistently, especially before you do anything on the other side of a door.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Fallout 3 was my favorite Fallout, followed by 4, and then Vegas. I didn't particularly like Vegas.
How does it feel to be so wrong?
I mean, you know, I wasn't going to say it, but I have a special love for that just because
I like clear, concise good guys and clear, concise bad guys. I don't like when you have a whole bunch of groups and they're all kind of
I don't like shades of gray.
Exactly. I hate shades of gray. You should either be a bad guy or the best. Did I say good guy first or bad guy?
No, I said bad guy.
Okay. You should be a good guy or the best bad guy possible.
Where it's murky and you can't trust anybody. That's actual Vegas. It felt like the mafia.
I don't want any of them to become the leaders. I don't want to be like, yeah, but I don't like it. I want them to have either the worst possible solution, which is nuking the place, and I'm fully in support of that, and then giving it over to Caesar's Legion. That is the only correct option as far as I'm concerned, because there's no good option, so you might as well go full bad.
You understand how that, like, replicates life right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, as long as the art has at least transcended that point to make that happen.
Everyone likes to go full bad. Everything is bad. It works. I'm okay with this.
God, anyway.
So eventually, a real good guy is going to show up and solve all the problems.
Nope.
Just never going to happen.
That whole space of assholes you don't want to deal with. That's where we're at.
Well, you know, eventually maybe a nuke then. You know, whatever. Problem gets solved one way or the other.
And speaking of nukes, Call of Duty games are famous for their nukes. And Microsoft confirmed on an earnings call that PlayStation will be getting at least the next 3 Call of Duty games.
I'm sure they'll continue to get them. I mean, those sell well on both systems. There's no reason to cut your profits by making it exclusive, because at this point, people are kind of set in their way on what console they're playing on. It's more where your friends playing is which console you're usually going to take now. So having exclusives whilst is nice, it's not going to be as much of a system seller as it used to be.
Call of Duty, I think, is like the ultimate system seller. If they went exclusive, I think they're going to keep Warzone multi-platform, and they're going to make, like, the campaign entries, they're going to make those exclusive.
It's interesting perspective. I'd be more interested in them moving away from the 4 different development houses that publish them currently and moving it to a more and not giving yearly Call of Duty updates. Like, Warzone can continue to get updated, but, like, really, and this is where I don't want any of those folks to lose their job at any development house, but really condense down and space out the story. Like, they have one house for Halo, and now is 343 just released a great game, in my opinion. And it took time.
What I think they should do is they should just tell each studio, make a game, have it ready by this month, 3 years later. Because they have over 30 studios. They could make one game every month, and the people wouldn't have to make a brand new game for almost 3 full years. They should just do that, and constantly have brand new games out, even if they're smaller games.
I mean, in a perfect world, yeah, but...
I if you think the creative process could work like that, having printed games, my hat is off to you.
I mean, they've managed to put out brand new games every year. If they can do it one every 3 years, I think that'd be a lot better.
But that's what they're doing. But they're
on a rotation.
It's one development house does the 3-year game, and then the next one does it the following year, and the next one, and then they're back to the rotation. That's the current model.
I just hope that they take that and they just keep one on Call of Duty and take the other two and let them do whatever they want instead of just being a Call of Duty farm. Gotcha. That's what I want to see.
There's 3 that are, like, between Treyarch and Infinity Ward, that's their lifeblood, right?
Yeah.
And then Sledgehammer was brought on as a specifically raised up COD house. when they have other developers supporting the effort, because it's such a machine that you still need support for that level of fidelity and content. It's an insane beast that Call of Duty has become, and I don't think anything will change. I'm just saying, me personally, I'd rather have a game every 4 or 5 years from a developer that matters. Yeah, if you're going to do those sorts of installments.
I think a new Call of Duty every 3 years would be right on the money, I think, because that's how many studios they have. I think that'd be best, because then they could make better stories, because from what I understand, lots of the stories are getting worse and worse. So they can work on the story more. I don't think they have to work on the multiplayer all that much, because I assume most of them are probably about the same.
Yeah. Multiplayer changes a little bit. I'm a bit of a FPS snob, though, so...
Yeah, I don't like versus MP personally. I go for the single player. I hate versus. The benefits
I'm the same because I'm terrible at first person shooters. So I'll play the campaign and that's it. Like, I'm sad Halo doesn't have co-op campaign at launch.
Yeah, but it does have the scorpion gun that you can carry around with you, and you can't hurt yourself with it. So just point down directly down and keep shooting and just walk through the game. You're fine.
Huh. Today, yeah. I learned. I haven't played the single player because I've just been on the multiplayer, because that's memories. Like, I used to wake up and play Halo 2 for 16 hours a day to do competitions and sleep, and then wake up and keep playing.
So do you have the Master Chief Collection?
So I played Halo 2 a lot. I played Halo 3 a lot, and now I've already maxed out the Battle Pass and Infinite. I love the new Halo edition that much.
Oh, Jesus. Maybe I should just give you my account and let you, max that out for me, because, like, I haven't even started it because it just hurts my soul to even attempt it. But I want that achievement.
I actually haven't played that much, and I've already hit diamond for the little bit of ranks that I've played just by myself without any team, because I don't have anybody that I play with. I'm too old. The young kids don't want to play with me anymore.
Shit, add me on Xbox and you can carry me. I'm fine with that, because I'm terrible.
All four of us. Let's get a game going after the show.
I have it installed. I legitimately can. I am perfectly cool with that.
Jacob, do you have it installed?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
I was expecting a no when immediately from that. Nice.
This is going to be fun after the show.
Anything else, Joe, we got for the news for the podcast?
We're running EA. Long. Yeah, we are running long. Holy shit. EA announced that Respawn is working on 3 new Star Wars games. They're working on a new Star Wars Jedi title, a new Star Wars first-person shooter, and a Star Wars strategy game developed with Bitreactor.
Well, they lost me on the last one, but I'm really excited for the other two, because I want another Jedi Fallen Order game, and a shooter sounds like that could be pretty cool.
I'm excited to see where they go with the strategy game. It could be interesting.
I'm
and
not
it's something different.
Games, so.
Having worked on so many strategy games, you lose me a little bit.
Jacob, what are your thoughts?
I mean, it's always good to see new Star Wars games. I was a little surprised by it because a lot of people thought EA was going to lose the license.
I did.
Yeah. No, like a lot of people did, but... You know, if these games are far enough along that Disney was just like, yeah, we'll let you keep going at what you're doing, then they obviously showed him something good. So I'm excited.
Well, we'll see where it goes. Some bad news. The Nightmares from the Deep series from Artifex Mundi is being delisted from sale due to licensing agreements. The first game appears to be gone completely. The second game seems to still be available, while the third is in a bundle.
As of this morning, the second game is still there. I bought it. So
there you go. The third was available in like 2 or 3 bundles, but it was not available by itself.
Correct. Yeah, there's like 3 different bundles. They're the lowest, like the cheapest one is like $35. The most expensive one is like $100. And it's,
you get X number of games,
right? But it's all, but it's also how much do you love,
not $100 at once. Well, I have like all like 70 something of their games on Steam, so I'll be fine.
That's the thing, because I like, as soon as Joe told me, I immediately went to my sources for keys just to see if I could, like, just in case any of them still existed. There are still a few keys out there for the games on Steam if you really need to have them. They go anywhere from $2 to $10. You know,
or if again, you get it legit, get it legit while you can.
Well, I mean, these are, I mean, they're legit codes. It's just somebody selling them, but
yeah. So the dev's not getting money for it.
not anymore now. And ultimately, the problem with license, and I wish publishers would write better licensing deals in games that are going to be perpetuation forever, as opposed to things that can expire. I've dealt with this with Toy Soldiers War Chest and Ubisoft specifically, where we lost rights. It was shipped with Cobra Commander and He-Man, and like we had problems due to the license IP, and it's just it breaks your heart. It's like if you could stop playing those games that you paid for on Rock Band due to bad licensing, but
would suck.
It would you'd be fucking furious, right? But you know, Harmonix understood that this game is going to live forever. These tracks need to live forever. Like that's kind of the end deal, one time purchase, just like everything
else. I'm missing one Artifacts Mundi game on Steam. That's it. They have over 70 games. I'm missing one of them.
Is it one? Like, is the game still available to buy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy it.
I just haven't bought it. Actually, you know, right now it's only $1.50. I will buy it. I'm gonna buy it right here, right now.
I'm just curious, being that you guys are passionate about games, have apparently extensive libraries, what does your Steam library look like as far as
I have over 1,000 games on Steam. So.
I think I'm at like 700-800 games on Steam, but my main collection is on Xbox, where I've got like, I think I just hit over 1,200.
I'm at 600 on Xbox right now.
Joe?
I'm,
He has every game on Xbox.
Just, I was going to say, just name like, a game. And he can be like, yeah, probably.
My Steam library sitting at 1,878.
I didn't think you had a Steam library, honestly. You don't like playing on computer.
No, I don't play PC games, and I have a Steam library of 1,800 games.
Well, I mean, that's real easy to do when
bundles exist. Yeah.
Yeah, when you've got like what is it, Fanatical or
whatever
they're called. Yeah, like when they offer bundles for like $5
and you get
like
bundle.
15 games.
Mm-hmm.
Humble Bundle, and if you signed up for their, like back when they used to like give you shit every month. Like,
why do you have that many games? Why did you sign up for that stuff? You don't like playing on the PC. Why would you do that? That doesn't make sense.
Because I got a new computer at the time and I wanted to get PC games for it.
To not play?
Yeah, pretty much. The big thing, though, is my Xbox library, which is sitting at 4,158.
I'm surprised it's that low, to be honest.
I'm sorry, come again?
Yeah, he has almost every game, literally.
No, I'm missing a lot. I think Scotty has more than me. I think Carnage has.
There's someone else like you in here.
Yeah, but is that your digital library?
Yes. Or
does that include physical zone?
That doesn't include physical at all.
Okay.
Yeah, most of my digital is honestly due to one, reviewing games for two different places, and two, the free games from the
contest.
No, it's not even contest. I don't actually have that many games from contest.
Cole was the contest
less
queen.
Than,
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I've won less than 20 games total from contests.
Anyway, Logan, you mentioned Ubisoft. They announced they are shutting down Hyperscape as of April 28th.
That's a shame. Pour one out for Hyperscape.
Hold on. Logan didn't say how much is in his collection. I mean, if we're gonna compare penis sizes right now.
True.
No. Insignificant penis size. That's and most of mine have been like,
it's so small.
It's so small. It's just me. I have just about 800 on Steam, and across all the other platforms, which would consist of all the way back to Atari 2600, I used to have a pretty good collection of things, but I kind of let it all go a little bit throughout the years, just from
Prior systems, I have about 100 more games just in prior systems altogether. I did not have very many games for prior systems. I think on my PS2, I had like 70-something games.
I probably have like 200 360 games on the shelf.
Jesus.
I have, on the system, because not everything is backward compatible. On my Xbox 360, I think I have like 700 games on there.
That's something I need to go back and figure out, like, which, because like, now that I have an Xbox Series X, I need to go back onto my 360, get rid of all the games that are playable on that.
No, that's what I did.
Just fill up the hard drive with all the games that aren't backwards compatible.
Oh, good luck getting all those to download again. That'll take you forever.
I know.
Anyway, more news. Milestone announced that the Monster Truck expansion for Hot Wheels Unleashed will release April 21st.
Wait, what? There's going to be Monster Trucks?
Yes. That's why I said there's a Monster Truck expansion. Do you not listen to the words I say?
Fair. That you were saying like that there was a Monster Truck game.
No, the expansion for Hot Wheels Unleashed, April 21st.
That's cool. I'm excited.
So what kind of game is Hyperscape? Because we never actually got around to
even. Oh, Hyperscape is a first-person shooter battle royale. Carnage liked it.
Okay.
Yeah. As soon as he said battle royale and online shooter, like, he lost me. I checked out. I suck at first-person shooters, so.
Yeah.
I'm awful. Logan chuckling is you can wreck me so easily in a first-person shooter.
With my tiny library, I will still punch the
bug. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've played an FPS with you before, Joe. I think it was one of the Halo games, even.
Yeah, just because I have games doesn't mean I'm good at them.
Yeah, I'm legally blind. He's bad.
I am. Iron Galaxy announced that Rumbleverse will not be launching February 15th as originally planned. No new date was given, but a new PC playtest was announced for February 12th. So if you're looking forward to Rumbleverse, you're going to have to wait a little longer.
I don't even know what that is.
That's one of the fighting games with cartoon characters or something, isn't it?
It's like the wrestling style one.
I thought that was Multiverses that you're thinking of.
No, that's the WB game.
Well, yeah.
My soul, all these words just are
too many games.
Less and less. Yeah.
Sega announced that Two Point Campus will be hitting consoles on May 17th and will be launching direct to Game Pass.
Oh, this reminds me of another piece of news that I don't know if you've talked about before.
What?
But apparently lots of the people over at Sega have jumped ship, especially the old Yakuza.
We talked about that months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just remember hearing about it last week, and I was like, oh, that hurts my soul.
Something to soothe your soul is that Hello Games remastered their game Joe Danger and re-released it on iOS because the parent of an autistic child contacted them and asked them to. That's cool as fuck.
I like that. That's a good
story. My child loves your game. It's not available on iOS anymore. Can you do something? Yeah, we'll re-release it. Here you go. And apparently that's like $3. So go support that one.
Yeah, because that would be real cool if they re-released it on Xbox as well.
That'd be cool. Bring it to everything.
Joe Danger is. But
little motorcycle stunt game.
Yeah, the two games were on Xbox 360. But I mean, remastered would be cool.
Remastered's a lot more work than you think. Re-releasing, A-okay. Press a few buttons, submit a form, spend the day. do it on the weekend. No problem.
Excuse me, I need to be able to see like the shine on his helmet now. we have the graphics.
Want to see the sun reflecting?
See if
just ray traced reflections. Graphics
button. What's the matter with you? You stupid devs.
The better graphics button is next to the online play button, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right next to the little turtle rabbit button. Make it faster.
Yeah, it's more pixels. Faster. It just says more pixels. Last bit of news that I have is that the Steam Deck is launching February 25th and reserves are being handled by the Steam Store. There are three models of the thing. One for $399 comes with a 64 gig memory whatever EMMC, I don't know what that stands for because I'm ignorant and stupid. Also comes with a carrying case. So you got that.
Ooh.
529 comes with a 256 solid state drive, a carrying case, and a community profile bundle. And then for 649, you get a 512 gig hard drive, an anti-glare etched glass screen, an exclusive carrying case, a Steam profile bundle, and a virtual keyboard theme. So if you are looking for a Steam Deck, jump on the Steam store, throw your reservation down, and hope you get chosen.
There's embedded multimedia card, by the way.
Okay.
There's a fourth one that's not mentioned, which is the one that developers get.
Ooh, what's that?
I can't talk about it.
Oh.
I know.
That's such a tease. Horrible, right?
I know. You guys with all your big numbers and public information.
Oh, look at you. You son of a... Shameless.
Supposedly, it has a button where if you push it, Lara Croft's clothes come off.
I like that button.
My uncle who works at Nintendo told me.
About, but I like that button.
Were the hydrophobia devs button. Working on that?
God damn it.
I mean...
Jacob, what news do you have?
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I thought about making up some shit about Sonic the Hedgehog 2 just to piss off Aki, but I don't have anything, so...
Okay.
And even just saying you were thinking of making stuff up about it, I'm already thinking, fuck you.
Listen, I breathe and you're just like, die already.
Yeah. Yeah, you sigh too much on the show. It's just every time. It's
so hard.
It makes the audience sigh too. It's very contagious.
It's great.
So, Logan, it has been amazing having you on the show chatting with us. That is it for the news. That we have some reviews we got to take care of, and we're not going to bore you having you listen to those. So thank you so much for joining us and chatting with us. It's been awesome having you on. I know I said that it'd be like a half hour, and now we are hour 40
two
later.
2 hours.
It's all good. I appreciate it so much for having me on. It's been great meeting you guys.
Yeah, great meeting you too.
Jacob, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, careful listeners may have heard me mutter like, oh, Jesus. And that's when I realized that we'd actually been talking for over an hour 30. I was just like, we haven't even hit reviews yet.
We haven't hit reviews, but we're hitting those now. So, Logan, we're going to let you get going. Thank you again so much for joining us. Where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing?
Just I'm a bad poster of social media and even YouTube content, everything else. My name, I guess, just Logan. Last name Demelt, D-E-M-E-L-T. Maybe Twitter, maybe Instagram. I don't know. I'm horrible. I go through spurts of just ADHD like posting, and I'm good for 6 months every day on the day. And then it's like something happened, and I'm way too focused on this thing I have to do, and it's got all my attention. So
nice. Well, maybe. We will have to get you back on again in the future sometime. You were a blast to have on.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, we'll let you get going. You have yourself a wonderful night.
All right, good luck with the kitties. Good luck, Jacob. Good luck with health, you too. Health things, and the youngster. Good luck with your boobs. Okay, bye.
I mean,
the best of luck for the last one.
Oh man! All right, we got reviews. Jacob, are you ready to start?
Oh God, yeah.
All right, first game to talk about. What are you saying?
Okay, so it's time for me to space out.
First game to talk about tonight is called Beyond a Steel Sky, developed by Revolution Software, published by Microids, released December 13th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $39.99. You are Robert Foster. A child has been abducted in a brutal attack, and you have vowed to bring him home, but the trail has led you from your community of desert wasteland dwellers to Union City, one of the last remaining megacities in a world ravaged by shattering wars and political meltdown. Fortified and impenetrable is a utopia in which people live happily under the surveillance and control of a benign AI, but all is far from what it seems. Jacob, tell us about your time with Beyond a Steel Sky.
So, I'm going to be up front. This game was not exactly what I was expecting, because the trailer, when you watch it, you're like, oh, all right, so it looks like a kind of Fallout-ish game. But in the back of my mind, I was like, wait a second, I've got like the original game on GOG, and I'm pretty sure that was a point and click adventure game, but you know, it's cool. Everyone moves out to you know, different genres and stuff like that. And I fire this up and I'm just like, wait, what? Why is nothing working properly? And then I realize that the game is like a 3D point and click adventure game. So, so make sure you're ready for that. So as you go through this game, as in the description, you are this guy who has to go, into this huge mega city, not like, Judge Dredd-ish kind of mega city, but just, you know, like the false utopia kind of stuff. And you know, just big sprawling mega city, that kind of stuff. And, you have to solve like a bunch of puzzles just to move around and get to the next area, talk to a bunch of people, get items, like, you know, there are some fetch quests, that kind of stuff. And, so if you're not prepared for that kind of stuff, I'm not going to lie, you are going to, like, you're going to struggle with at least the very opening of the game. It took me forever to figure out how the hell to get into, just to get into the city, and I had to consult a guide a couple of times, so thank God this was released on PC a while back. But that being said, like, the game style is, you know, it's beautiful looking, like, the graphics look great. Once you get used to the gameplay style, like, it moves along. It's just a lot of, it's a lot of standard point and click, but also, like, text adventure stuff where you have to use your imagination as, like, okay, well, I have to get this bird to give me this device, and there's an electric fence nearby. How can I make the bird run into the electric fence? And, like, you know, and it's stuff like that. And some of the solutions are not like the most obvious, which I mean, again, is standard for that genre, but
yeah, to give away something very, very early, like you have to scare birds away and you would think you can use your crowbar to like hit them or scare them away or something, but instead you have to use a piece of, like, where did you have a piece of cake?
Those crows.
Why did you have a piece of cake? And you use the piece of cake to get rid of them.
Right.
But the cake is a lie.
Nope, not in this game.
No. Yeah.
I disagree.
And so it's just like, you meet a very interesting wide array of characters in it. And it honestly, it's a pretty interesting game, but I don't want to say that it's a slog to get through, but it is a time consuming game, and you better have the time to devote to this. And it's one of those things where it's just like, you better be ready. Like, this is the game you're going to be focusing on for a while. This is not something I'd recommend, like, putting down.
It's not a pick up and play kind of thing.
Right. But I mean, it's,
they do allow you to save anywhere, which is helpful, or at least mostly anywhere.
It is. And honestly, it's just like, you know, the more I got used to it, the more I was, you know, I was getting into it. And I'd kind of actually like to see more titles like this, because it's just, you know, it's a type of game I don't see that often, like a 3D point and click adventure like this. I mean, yeah, you've got the Sam and Max, but it's still like almost like a 2D focus. This one is like, it's all done in a first person perspective, or
third person, open world style.
There are some first person like ish things, but yeah, more of an open world kind of thing. And it's just, you know, I dug it. But it's one of those, like, it's, unless you already know what you're getting into and you're fine with it, this may be more of a try it than a buy it. But like, I don't know. It's weird, 'cause it's just like, I don't want to discount the game, 'cause usually try it means like I'm kind of like not sold on it kind of thing, but it's like, I am sold on it, but you have to be the right kind of person for this game. So,
and you have to be okay with the price tag. It is $40, but it is a big full
for
game.
For $40, you are definitely getting your money's worth for it. And this is coming from cheap ass Jake. So, you know, I mean, the $40 price tag is nothing to sneeze at. on this. It, you get your money's worth.
And then something to keep in mind, it has different video options. If you are at least on the Series X, it lets you choose between high detail and 30 frames per second or lower detail and 60 frames per second.
Oh, so, I didn't mess with that.
Yeah. Settings are fun.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, yeah, I probably should have messed with those because I'm not going to lie, like, the speed at which the character quote unquote runs was driving me nuts.
Yeah. But, you're slow in this game.
Yeah. But
so 40 bucks, honestly, your official verdict.
Honestly,
it's just slow.
For 40 bucks. Yeah. I'd recommend it. But as I said, you know, make sure you know what you're getting into. You might want to watch like a Let's Play video first just to get the hang of it. But, yeah, I'd recommend it.
Cool. All right, next up is Gravity Chase, developed and published by Repixelate. Released January 31st on Xbox for $11.99. Welcome to the futuristic anti-gravity arcade racer with a twist. Gravity Chase Racing competition takes place on tunnel tracks for super fast 360 degree zero G racing. Skill and precision piloting are required to follow the optimum line, along with strategic use of pickups, power-ups, and weapons in order to progress through the race series. Jacob, tell us about your time with Gravity Chase.
So Gravity Chase, you know, it's pretty much as the description says. It's a futuristic racer, like everything looks like it's a spaceship. And you're presented in all these environments where most of it you're able to do like 360 stuff. Now, there are various power-ups along the tracks that you can pick up, but there's also things that will slow you down. And your little ship thing does have like a health meter, so you know you better like, so not only do you have to pay attention to like the other racers on there, but also you need to be paying attention to your own ship and making sure that you're able to survive to the next lap. It's not the most original racer. Like, I mean, it gets the job done with it. The controls are fine, the power-ups they're okay. The graphics look fun, or they are fun. it's a nice futuristic look to it, but at the same time there are some things that I felt was lacking. Like, there's no tutorial, there's no real tutorial or instruction guide for it, and so like you're gonna eat shit a lot when you first start the game. I mean, you're still gonna place like in first or second, but you know, you're going to be eating a lot of shit along the way. And that being said, this dev, I was actually the one to review their previous game, that Formula, crap, I'm blanking on their name. But it was
Formula Retro Racing.
Retro Racer, right. And my complaint with that back, it was like 1 or 2 years ago when I reviewed it, was that there's no online multiplayer. There is couch co-op. But there's no, like, as I said, like there was no online multiplayer for that. And for this one, there isn't either. And I don't know. It just really boggles my mind releasing a game like this in 2022. We're in the middle of a pandemic.
It would be nice if it had online.
It's just because who are you going to bring over? I mean, hopefully you're like nobody, like your friends are vaccinated. Hopefully, like, you know, they're in decent health. You can bring them over to play this. But otherwise, it's just you versus the bots the whole entire time. And it's just, I don't know, like for a racing game, like for me, they always have that social factor. And it's just, I wish that this game especially had it. But otherwise, I mean, the tracks are varied. They're varied enough for what it is. There's a bunch of different ships that you can get and buy and unlock and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, for what it is, it's a decent title. It's not the most impressive racer like this out there, but, you know, it gets the job done.
I'm looking through some of the features on the Steam page. 10 unique ships with customizable colors and power-ups, and 16 unique tracks with multiple themed environments. Unique.
Yep.
Oh, man. So, $12 on this one. What are your thoughts?
I'd be more cool if it was 10, but 12 is not bad. I just wish
I was going to say, that's a $2 complaint.
It is, but it's also a $2 complaint for a game that is essentially single player. Like,
fair.
Like, it's one of those things where I'm just like, it's 2022. And, like, you know, you're going to release a racing game at this point without online multiplayer?
Ugh. No.
Like, sorry. It's decent enough for $12. Like, it didn't exactly wow me, but it's all right.
Yeah, Carnage saying sometimes $9.99 is more of an impulse buy than seeing something four digits as well. So that makes sense.
That's true.
So. All right, next game to talk about is Mousecraft, developed and published by Crunching Koalas, released January 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $9.99. Mousecraft is an A to B puzzle game where players help Schrodinger, the crazy cat scientist, in completing his mysterious mice-powered invention, pile up Tetramino blocks to create a safe path for as many mice as possible, gather collectibles, fight enemies, use different types of blocks, blow things up, and avoid environmental hazards in 80 handcrafted levels. Purchase it now. Ha ha. Purchase. Get it?
Yes, we cheese. Got it. Yes, we get it.
Mice?
Yeah, yes.
Aki, tell us about Mousecraft.
Can I just shoot myself instead of
this? No, tell us about Mousecraft. In the okay, mic. Clear. Let's do this.
Okay. Wait, you want her to review it clearly or shoot herself clearly? Which one's happening?
Flip a coin.
I don't have a coin. I'm poor, remember?
Well, then do the review. Let's start.
Shit. Okay. In this, you play as a mad cat scientist, and you're basically trying to get mice to get from point A to point B without them dying, and while picking up these weird blue crystals that you give to, like, a kingpin who gives you only a handful of coins because, you know, cheapskate. And apparently you think that's a good idea, but, you know, whatever. You've been trying to create something with cheese for years and you're poor, so you just agree to the idea because you've run out of cheese and money for cheese. Again, none of this makes sense.
The story doesn't matter. It's all about the gameplay in this.
Yeah, pretty much. This game's kind of like Lemmings, I think.
I was going to say, it's very Lemmings-like, yeah.
Yeah, they walk until they hit something that they can't climb on, because they can climb one block up. So if anything's two or more blocks, they just walk up to it, press against it.
Turn around and walk the other way.
What's going on, and then turn and walk, yeah. And you just have to prevent them from, you know, jumping into electrified waters or staying underwater too long or jumping into pits of acid or stepping on electrified things. You know, the usual stuff. Dumb animals are dumb. Keep them from being dumb. Not complicated. But you don't actually have any control over these rodentia. Instead, you place blocks throughout it, which can allow them to climb areas. Later on, you get different blocks of different types. Like, there's one that allows them to drop more than three blocks down without dying. It looks like it's made out of Pepto-Bismol. it's a jelly block or something. Then, eventually, you get things like explosive blocks, and one of the mouse or one of the mechanical mice, which will kill the actual mice. So you gotta protect them from that shit too, even though you made that. Again, it doesn't make sense. if they touch the explosive block, it starts a timer counting down from 3 seconds, and then it explodes. And if anything that's caught in its blast radius, which is one block in every direction from it, obviously, the things, they go boom, and be the dead. That's how explosives work. Just in case you didn't know that.
See, we're learning things today.
Oh, yeah, very much so. There's three mice in every level, and the whole point is trying to collect all the stuff and get all three mice to the end if you can. You can continue as long as you collect the crystals and get at least one mouse to the end. But in order to perfect each level, you have to get all the mice to the end and collect all the crystals. I don't know if you actually have to collect all of them, but you have to collect a lot of the crystals. Because it opens up 20 levels at a time. So you get access to the first 20 levels, and then you have to collect a certain amount of crystals in order to unlock the next set. And I don't know if that's all of them, because I didn't bother counting.
There's 80 levels in the game, so 20 and then 20. I'm guessing it opens up four sets of 20.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly how it goes. And at the end, you have to unlock the last one, you have to have 115 crystals in total. In order to open the last set of them. I don't know if that's all of them from all the prior levels or not, because I didn't bother to count them, because I got literally all of them in every level, because you have to do that to get a perfect, and you have to perfect everything to get all the achievements. So, you know, I got all the achievements, because I'm me, and I'm a good reviewer.
Did you have to cheese it to get them?
Some of them, kind of, because there's a bunch of achievements for killing the robotic mice in different ways. So you do that, and then you kill your mice, and then you restart the mission that way, because that's the only way to get it to actually count them, unless you want to complete the level, get one robo mouse kill, and then complete the level, and then restart the whole thing all over again, instead of just killing everything.
I wonder if the game is compatible with mouse and keyboard.
Oh my god, I fucking hate you so much. Like, honestly, I was originally going to compliment Aki for just ignoring, like, did you cheese it? And then you just had to do the, like, oh, what if it can live and that's a keyboard? Shut up, Joe. Shut up.
Since it's on Steam, yes, it can. And I hate you for even bringing that up. God damn it.
I meant the Xbox version, if you could use mouse and keyboard, because some games support mouse and keyboard on Xbox. It's a legit question, asshole.
I didn't try it, but it very well might, since it's been a Steam game since, like, 2017 or 2019 or something. So, it could. I'm not going to say it does, because I don't do that.
But yeah, Aki's not a monster.
I hate both of you so much.
Well, we better move on.
Ow, well, damn it. I was going to make a cheddar pun.
Ah, you missed out. You swissed out on that one.
No, that was.
Please kill me. Please. Someone just shoot me in the face.
$9.99 for Mousecraft. What do you say?
Would you say that's a Gouda price?
Damn it, that got me. Shit. Of course, that's the one that I actually found funny. I hate you.
I win again.
For 80 levels, yeah, I'd go for it. It does get kind of repetitive and a little bit boring near the end, just because every, 8 to 12 levels, you get a new block. And then you play a bunch of levels that kind of focus on that block. So it gets kind of old in between the different blocks. So $10, sure, it's not bad. It just may not be the most exciting game after a while, but you can say that of most games. So yeah, sure, go for it.
Cool. All right. Next game to talk about is The Enigma Machine, developed and published by Dolores Entertainment, released January 18th on Xbox One and PS4 for $6.99. The Enigma Machine is a first-person sci-fi horror puzzle game that aims to capture the obscurity and unpredictability of games of old, framed within an increasingly unsettling presentation. Jacob, what is The Enigma Machine?
So, honestly, the game sets it up as if you're at some sort of a computer terminal and you're with the Enigma Corp and they're having you test out their latest thing, which lets you see the inside of an android's brain, like in like a graphical presentation. There are definite local, if you follow like Chris Straub's YouTube horror series, it's called Local 58, where it's just like all these random like horror things. They're like short horror films that like are no more than like 5 minutes, but like they're all very eerie in its presentation. This would honestly fit right in with it. So you have to, so you pretty much just have to, you log in and you start talking to the android, and you get more and more information as, you know, you go on with these conversations, and then eventually you can just start logging into these levels, and going from there. Now, pretty much with the levels, now keep in mind that this game is short. You could beat this game in about an hour.
Oh, wow.
And pretty much what you just have to do with each level is that you have to get an access code and then enter it in at a computer terminal, and then the level will end. You can have more conversations with the android, and then progress to the next level. And some of the one of the puzzles was a little weird. And I hate that pretty much everyone just wants to post like little speedrunning videos of this thing, because I, for level 3, I honestly didn't understand where I was supposed to find the access code. And everyone's just like, oh, here it is. You could just skip it. Like, and I'm just, what? Like, I want to understand how that level worked. Otherwise, the game was fine with its puzzles and everything. Like, everything was either obvious or like you could eventually figure it out through trial and error. And when you get to like the final level of like, you know, decontaminating this android's brain, like shit goes insane. And it is a really crazy thing. Now, what I've really liked about this is that once you get inside the android's brain, everything looks like it's video game graphics, like circa like 1997, but they still look modern. And it's one of those, just like, the graphics look shitty, but they are purposely shitty. And like, and it takes like a level of skill to make it look like that. If you understand what I mean. And it's just, it was really friggin' well done. I was really impressed with this game. I only have a couple of gripes about it. And pretty much it's just, first off, as I said, level 3, I don't understand how exactly you get the code. And all of the videos that I watched for it, like everyone's just like, here's the code, just go on to the next one. So I don't know what I'm missing, but there's that. And then, if you have vision issues with this game, well, first off, if you're prone to seizures from like, flashing lights and stuff like that, you will probably want to avoid this game. Just saying that up front.
So, Aki, it's good you didn't cover this one.
Yeah, the game does tell you that at the start. But pretty much, if you have vision issues like I do, because I'm getting old, you have to type in everything with a keyboard, an in-game keyboard, and it's not easy to see where the cursor is highlighted. So I had to sit like 2 feet away from my huge ass TV. And then on top of it, towards the end of the game, when the android is talking to you as you are in the levels, everything shows up in the bottom left hand corner, and it is in the smallest damn type possible. And so it's just like, I'm glad I was sitting where I was, because there's a huge chunk of story that you're otherwise just not going to get. Otherwise you're just gonna be like, oh man, this shit's crazy. Like, you know, but if you're also like playing it while you're reading the stuff in the corner, you're like, wow, this is fucked up. And so it's a very effective, like sci-fi horror thing. You can get it on Steam for $5. Joe, I think you said it's $6.99.
Yep. On $6.99 Xbox. On Xbox. What are your thoughts?
Totally fucking worth it. It was my favorite game that I reviewed for this podcast. Like
it's not $6.99. It's $8.99, and it is on sale for $7.19. I don't know where I had the $6.99 from, but I am sorry. It is $8.99 on Xbox. Currently on sale for $7.19.
Okay. Well, either way, still worth it. As I said, I will warn you, it is a short game. It takes like less than an hour to beat. The achievements are all like you can get them in one sitting.
That's a selling point for some people.
Yeah, I mean it doesn't really lend itself to replayability, unfortunately, as far as I'm aware. But honestly, I really dug it. Like, I'm really glad I took this game.
Cool. All right, next up is Downslope, developed and published by Mind's Eye Games, released January 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $4.99. The mountain awaits. Snowboard your way down the dizzying descent. Face complex, tricky courses as you make your way further and further down the mountain slopes. Meet the ghosts of those who have braved its slopes before you, and maybe, just maybe, you can reach the end. Are you fast enough? Are you skilled enough? There's only one way to find out. Jacob, what is Downslope?
So if you just
the answer look at is the weird
photo, yeah, so if you just look at like the promo photos that are up on the Xbox site, you're just like, oh, okay, so it's like a retro snowboarding game, okay, whatever. But if you watch the trailer, like the first half, yeah, you still have like, oh, it's a retro snowboarding thing, and then shit gets weird.
I kind of wish the trailer didn't give away as much as it gave away.
That's honestly fair, because that would lead to a bunch of like what I mean, for first off, for the game devs, it would mean like they could easily figure out who actually played it and who didn't. But also, it's just like, yeah, because then you would just run into like a like, you know, you play a few levels and then you run into like a ghost who's like, ooh, I'm spooky. Aren't you scared? Come on, you're supposed to be scared of me. Ugh. Like, and so, yeah, so it's pretty much, like, as I said, it's a retro snowboarding game, and you have to go down these mountainsides, which get increasingly harder, and each level, if you want to get a perfect on it, you don't wipe out, and you collect their, like, three coins or three gold, like, whatever they are. I just call them coins, but, and you just complete it as quickly as you can. And it turns out that, yeah, there's an actual, like, plot to this game. And you have, like, all these ghosts on the mountain of people who came before you. And, like, they're either trying to, like, freak you out or, like, give you advice. And the game just gets progressively weirder and weirder as you go on. And,
like, I kind of don't want to talk too much more about the game because yeah, I don't want to spoil how weird it gets.
It really is a game that you just, like, honestly, it's kind of like the Enigma machine. Like, there's only so much you could say where it's just, you just really need to go experience it for yourself.
So how are the snowboarding mechanics? You move left and right.
It's a traditional, it's like a traditional, like, early 1980s arcade game. Like, you know, you move left or right, you go down the mountain. And that's really all that there is to it. I mean, like, you can speed up and slow down, and the game does introduce those mechanics and how to do some other stuff. But there's really not much to it. Like, the gameplay's fine. It's not earth-shattering, but it is what it is, you know. But yeah, it's a weird title, and I enjoy it. So. Yeah, how much does this thing cost?
It is $4.99.
Oh, totally buy it. Totally buy it. Yeah, it's like, yeah, totally buy this weird ass $5 title. Like, it's a quirky little thing, and I recommend it.
Carnage is saying that it has a free trial. I completely forgot I had a free. I'm just looking at the store page that says install. So Carnage saying it gives 24 hours of real time to play the game, and you could get achievements in the trial. It is worth the $5, though. It is worth dropping the $5 for this one.
I was going to say, help the devs on this. Just buy the damn game.
Yeah, it's only $5, so pick this one up.
Cheap-ass Jacob tells you to spend that $5.
Well, we got one more $5 game to talk about. That's called Jizze, the First Case HD, developed by Sake Visual, published by Rattle Lake Games, released July 2020 on Xbox One, PS4, and Switch for $4.99. Teenager with no name and no home wanders from the city, from one city to next, burdened by the weight of his extraordinary ability. When he's accused of murdering a woman that he's never met, he sets out to prove his innocence and find the true killer. The investigation quickly takes a turn for the complicated when a strange voice appears in his head, warning him to watch his step. Aki, you covered the second game last week. You lamented the fact that you didn't play the first. So I fucking bought you the first. Now tell us about it.
It's fantastic.
Wonderful. Okay. Is it worth $5? No.
Yes, very much so. Okay, so this one you play as the same character, obviously, as the second game. In this game, he doesn't even go by any name. In the second game, he went by Kong Guy. Which was just a really bad, stupid, made-up name. And this one, he wakes up in a coffee shop, not knowing where the hell he is at all. He's like, oh, I must have come into this. And he looks down at the coffee. Oh, a triple shot. And I fell asleep. Huh. Maybe I should get more coffee. It's like, okay, yeah, okay. I'm sure lots of people can jive with that. All right, cool. And then he goes to go to the bathroom, and he sees a dead body. And of course, he has to go touch it, because that's what he does. When he touches a recently deceased individual's skin, he can relive their last moments to help him figure out generally what happened to them. And, of course, right in the middle of doing that with this woman who has a knife sticking out of her chest, someone walks in and sees him and is like, oh my god, what did you do? Blah, blah, blah. And, of course, there's just happens to be an off-duty detective there who decides, oh, well, yeah, you did it. Prove otherwise. And then you go about proving otherwise. This one is a lot more contained than the second game. It's also a lot shorter. Because in this game, you have four areas that you can enter. Not just four main areas, just four areas. Whereas the other one had, like, about twice as much. Maybe a little more than that, even. You have the main area of this coffee shop. You have the men and women's bathrooms. And then you have the hallway, which is where the detective stands, because that's in next to both the bathrooms. No one's going to mess with the evidence while he's there. Dun, dun, dun. And you happen to meet the only three other people other than the detective and yourself, obviously, in the room. One of those is the proprietor, basically, who works there. Her name is Chance, and she's stupid. Really hard to come up with another thing for that. She's not very smart. She wants to be a singer, and she can't sing. And she looks like a blonde bimbo, so she's not very smart. Then you have the office lady, who looks like a bitch and is, who says you're the murderer. And then you have, if you've played the second game, it's a very familiar face. But if you're playing this in order, not so familiar. It's Nisuke.
Well, don't give it away. I was going to say.
Well, he tells you who he is pretty soon.
If it's spoilers, because the game's only like an hour. Game, you
know? Yeah, it's not really a spoiler. Right. He doesn't tell you who he is right away, but you do figure it out. The game's not long enough for you to worry about that, because that's not actually a main part of it. You don't know he's part of the little detective agency until about where you learn his name, and it's not too far in. He's pretending to be someone else because he and his people are there to watch over somebody, and he doesn't tell you who. You have to talk with these people and the detective a little bit, mostly just telling the detective what you've learned from these other people, actually. And then you... While doing that, you suddenly get a voice in your head. Dun, dun, dun! And I've already told you exactly who it is in the last game. It's Aki. kind of hard not to spoil these things that are so blindingly obvious if you've played the second game. Though your character doesn't know that, and doesn't know that until the very end of the game when the door
opens. So you gave it away. You just gave it away in the oh my god, Aki.
You know, I've already told you who had that power in the second game. It's kind of obvious who has that power in this game. Because in that
game, not if you didn't play this game yet. First
game. I did the review already.
But if no one listens to it.
Then no one's going to listen to this. No spoilers. Ha ha. See? Smart. I win.
Well, it's a $5 game. What are your thoughts on it?
You can beat it in probably an hour. Maybe two, if you're unlucky. I think it's totally worth it. I think it's really fun. There's a whole bunch of different endings, but they don't all require brand new playthroughs. You can get every achievement in two playthroughs, but they are two full playthroughs. Mm.
Get this one, then get the second one.
Yeah, and preferably play them in that order.
In order, yeah.
So that, you know, stuff makes a little more sense.
No, you didn't pay for either, so quit bitching.
Well, yeah, that's true.
All right, that is it for this episode.
Before we go, did you see what I posted in chat?
What?
That in 95 days, Halo is getting the Season 2 update, and that is going to include co-op campaign options, finally.
I thought you were about to say cat ears.
Yay.
Oh, I hope so. I want the cat ears. So
Halo cat ears. I'm going to have to look for those. Anyway, thanks to you two for being here, hanging out, keeping me company. Big thanks to Logan DeMelt for coming on and chatting with us and keeping us company. That was a fucking awesome interview. I had no clue where it would go, and he just hung out and went toe-to-toe with us, and it was awesome.
I was surprised.
That was a good meandering conversation.
And it went so long. That's the
best one. Worth it.
Yeah, we're definitely worth it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to wrap this up. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Banana!
My phone is on, hold on, what is it on? 17%, and I warned Joe that, like, there was a very real chance that
my phone battery wouldn't... I already said banana.
Too bad. I'm surprised that it fucking lasted the entire show.
I said especially banana.